Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for the reading of the Word. And
tried to get Pastor Brandon to play the announcements tonight, but he said he was just going to make them. All right. Important subject tonight. All God's Word's important. Controversial subject tonight. I'm not really concerned. Controversy doesn't shake me up. It just doesn't. Because I know the Bible's always right. And I want to come down on the right side. And so I'm going to stick with the Bible. Before I get started, I want to ask you to pray about something that was brought to my attention this evening. I got a phone call from Brother Brian. I spoke with Brother Steve. Brother Steve's brother-in-law passed away 2 days ago, unexpectedly. I think he told me he was 60 years old. And just, you know, it can happen. You know, Brother Steve's has a heavy heart. Says he's unsure. Actually, he's rather sure that he was not saved. And so I want you to pray for the family. If you would do that this week, you pray for them, that God would be with them and give them a measure of comfort. The man's name was Larry Smoot. And if you would, you'd be in prayer for that family. Would you do that? Well, here's a passage of Scripture that got my attention. Going back, looking through the book of Proverbs and looking at some thoughts about parenting, and I realized that as I studied the book of Proverbs, I must study it from that perspective. I must study the book of Proverbs from a parental point of view. It's written by a father to a son. There's no way you can read the book of Proverbs and not see that. And so when I look at this, I see a warning as a father to his son, but also see it as a warning to all of God's children. Now, I don't think I speak to drinkers here tonight, but I want to tell you something. That doesn't mean that you're immune from it. I think sometimes what we think, and I want you to listen very carefully, I think sometimes, and this is another trick of the enemy. We talked about him this morning. The trick of the enemy is, well, you know what? It's the drunkards. It's the drunkards. Can I tell you that the drunkards sin enough of a message that ought to warn people? It's not the drunkards that's the danger to society. It's the quote-unquote social drinker. Now, I want you to listen to me. See, you look at a drunkard and you see the consequences of poor decision making, of poor choices. But if you just take just a passing glance at the quote unquote social drinker, then you would be made to believe that that's okay. But I'm going to take the scripture tonight and I want to show you some things that I hope will unmask the drinkers in moderation, that will help us to see that God's word says, stay away from that stuff. It's no good for you. Nothing good has ever come out of drinking. I want you to understand that. Now, I went and I began to gather some statistics because I think that, as the old saying, numbers don't lie. 78% of adults in America drink alcohol. That is astounding to me. That is up double from 25 years ago. And it's the social drinker that's doing it. It's the church member that thinks it's okay to have a glass of wine on Christmas at the Christmas dinner, the company Christmas party. Listen to me. These are the kind of people that the enemy is setting up at the business meeting. At the company business meeting, it's okay to have a drink. 78% of adults, 73% of high schoolers drink. I had to go to 3 different sources to make sure, and all of them were in 1% of that percentage I just gave you. 73%. Now, I want to stop right here and say this. We're talking about alcohol. But alcohol is not the only impaired product out there. It's a drug. And I'm going to go ahead and get this. I've got this in my notes, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Alcohol is not a food. It's a drug. Alcohol is not a disease. It's a sin. All right? When you see people pumping billions of dollars to promote a disease, you come to me and then we'll talk about alcohol being a disease. But when we have these companies that are spending billions of dollars to promote a disease, I don't think so. So listen, don't be fooled by the enemy. All right, don't be fooled by the enemy. Prescription drugs, marijuana, no good for you. Stay away from it. Stay away. So let's run away and get rid of my headaches. I think there's another way. Well, it's been proven, they say, that a glass of wine before you go to bed helps sleep better. I think I can find another way. Get you a fan, amen? I got me one. I've been sleeping great ever since. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Can I get amen? Amen. Get you a fan. Those things, man, you can buzz right on through about 6 hours. I'm telling you. Good stuff. And not even have to feel guilty in the morning. 73% of high schoolers drinking. That's troubling. 93% of boys in high school have experimented with alcohol. 83% of girls. 75,000 incidents by the time that a child is born and they turn 18 years of age, they will have witnessed 75,000 incidents of drinking on TV. You know why? You can't watch a television program without folks having to go get a drink. Drinks on me. Drinks on me. Drinks on me. America's drunk. No wonder we're floundering. No wonder we're going backwards. We're a country of drunkards. Every 7.5 minutes, alcohol is depicted on TV. You know what that tells me, parents? Grandparents? We have to cut out some of that TV, if not cut it out altogether. Because when a young child sees something over and over and over and over and over and over in their mind, if they're not careful, listen, unconsciously they will begin to think it's okay. We have commercials that are saying, this is the high life. No, it's the low life. Budweiser, Bud Dumber. All right? Bud never made anybody wiser. Listen to me. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? I'm getting ready to read it to you from the Bible. Bud makes you dumb, not wise. High life, living it up, they say. It's not living it up. Fun times. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. It ought to be made show you the end result of those fun times. It ought to be equal time. We live in the day of equality, right? Well, I tell you, our country wants to be politically correct on everything but the right things. You have to dig to find negative things about alcohol. You don't believe me? Try it next week. The number one cause of death in America in 2018 was heart disease. Number two, cancer. Number three, it's almost like anonymous. You have to dig. It's alcohol, but you have to dig. You have to dig. You know why? Because they don't want people to know that. See, listen, heart disease brings them money. Listen to me now. Cancer brings them money. It's real. I'm not saying it's not real. But listen, when you start saying alcohol, whoa, now you're costing us money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. I think it's sickening that you can't watch a sporting event without having to get doused with booze. But that's the age that we live in. You ought to teach your children to hate this stuff. Many of you, like me, have very, very sad memories of your childhood because of this filth. It arrested my life. It took the prime years of my youth. And it has some of you that are sitting under the sound of my voice, and it's very real. I want you to know that. Very real. It turns people into animals. We become people that, listen, when you're on this stuff, you'll become somebody that you never dreamt you could become. Just makes people into monsters. They do the unconscionable. Listen, it's unconscionable what people do when they're on this stuff. I want you to look at, well, let me finish this here. At 22,000 deaths a year, 62 people a day in America die from alcohol-related traffic deaths. And yet, these industries say drink responsibly. But I think, well, I mean, really? I mean, we think we're fools? We're fools? Drink responsibly. We have folks hiring divorce lawyers on a regular basis because of this stuff. We have children in shelters. We have women in safe houses because of this stuff. And yet they want to flash up on the screen after they've lied to you for 30, 45 seconds, and they have the last 10 seconds. Drink responsibly. They think we're fools. And America has become a fool for this stuff. You can't do anything anymore without folks having to think they have to drink to it. Now, you know what I'm saying, so. As a Christian, you have to bow out gracefully and say, I won't be attending that event. I won't be going to that business situation. I've had to do it. You've had to do it. Some of you still having to do it because of this stuff. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. There's folks who live every day of their life thinking they've got to have this stuff. I want to take the Bible and show you that these are not my opinions. Now, I'm very passionate about this. I have been in bondage to this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, once this stuff gets you, it does not want to let you go. It's addictive. Oh, preacher, I can quit anytime. Really? That's what all the addicts say. Look, if you would, at the very last statement in verse 35. I will seek it yet again. When you read what this man has just gone through, and he said, I want to do it all over again, that is an addict. I've been beat black and blue. I made a fool of myself. I done approached every woman that could be approached, every strange woman I could lay my eyes on, done said some stuff, made me look and sound like a fool, but I want to do it again. That's exactly what's being said here. I want you to notice how this starts out in verse number 29. We have a series of rapid-fire questions. There are six, and they're in groups of two. Because in these three groups of two, each one of them cover an area of our life. They cover an emotional area, all right? They cover a social area, and they cover a physical area of our lives. There's two questions per area. And they're grouped together. Notice it with me, verse 29. Look at the first two questions. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? The next two, who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? The next two, who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now the answer is given in verse 30 and 31. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, when it's going through the fermentation process. You stay away from that stuff. Now somebody is sitting out there right now saying, well, now wait a minute, preacher, didn't Jesus turn water to wine? Yeah, I've fielded that question many times in my pastorate. It doesn't take but 30 seconds to think this thing through to know that Jesus is not for drunkenness. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with a person that would ask that kind of question? Do you know who Jesus is? He is the holy, harmless, spotless Son of God. You think that he's going to have anything to do with what goes on with that stuff? With the dancing and the gyrating and the adultery and the fighting and the killing and the murdering and everything that goes on with that industry? And you're going to have me to believe that Jesus bought into that and has something to do with that? That's not even thinking straight. Well, you know, the Bible does speak of fermented wine. Well, sure it does. Sure it does. It does right here in a negative connotation. And there's even times that the Bible speaks of wine as alcohol when it's for medicinal purposes that it could serve some good. Paul told Timothy, he said, drink a little wine. Now listen, he wasn't talking about grape juice. He was talking about something that had a little alcohol in it. Drink it for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. It's the best they had then. I'd never do that. You probably in your lifetime, especially us with a little bit of age on us, we've taken some medication had alcohol in. Some of that stuff, I've known folks used to buy it and drink it. Hey, man, I mean, they'd buy it when they wasn't sick. I'm laughing about it. I shouldn't be. It's sad. It's sad. I mean, that's how much alcohol content it had in it. Some of these cough suppressants and these over-the-counter medications were filled with alcohol. So what's the Bible teaching here? Let's break it down, and I'll give you a few points. Listen, I want you to know something. Tonight's message, I thought about this week. I'm not trying to talk you out of drinking. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God will tell you drinking's wrong. I just believe that. I just believe that. What I want you to do is realize something. It's your choice. The first thing I want to do is I want parents to, if you are not already, I want you to make it a point to teach your children this stuff will destroy your life. I've never met a soul-winning drinker. Are you listening to me? I've never met a Christian that drank, that was excited about serving God, that was consistent. Never met one. Never met one. You say, preacher, you believe a Christian could drink? I'm absolutely sure of it. Absolutely sure of it. Don't believe they should, but I know it's possible. You can be saved and take a drink, but you'll never reach God's fullest potential. You'll never have joy and peace in your life and heart. You'll never do anything for God's kingdom while you're on this stuff. You'll be in bondage. Let's look at this. Who hath woe? What are we saying here? We're going to talk about emotional problems. I want you to write that down. See, this is the reason that many people turn to this stuff. The pills. Now listen to me. The pot. Well, it's cannabis, preacher. Okay, pot. It's a drug. Well, it's legal. So is Budweiser. So is Jack Daniels. Come on. We need to start using some common sense. Well, they're saying it's okay. They say it's okay for you to kill that baby inside of your womb too. But you know what? They're liars and murderers. We've got to get some backbone and some gumption about us and stand up for what we believe on the authority of this book right here. And not what they say is okay. They say a lot's okay that's not okay. And we need to teach our children that this book right here trumps anything that goes on up the road up here. This is the law that matters, brethren. Not what's going on up in Washington. This is the law that matters. And this law said, who hath woe? I looked that word woe up. You're very familiar with it. It means anguish. Anguish. Isn't it amazing when God saves us, he saves us from that, doesn't he? And gives us peace in our heart. Thank God for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thank God for the peace that God gives us when our sins are forgiven and we get saved in the grace of God. And then here comes this stuff trying to rob us of the peace that God has given us as a believer. And for those that are unbelievers, they're thinking in their mind, what can I do to escape this heartache, this sorrow, this anguish that I'm going through? Hey, life is hard, brethren. I think that the reason a lot of our young people are really, really confused today is that they have bought into this thing that life is not hard. Life's easy. I'm going to tell you something. Life's not easy. Life is not easy. Life will throw you a curveball. Listen, there'll be so many unfair things happen to you in life that you won't be able to count them. Are you listening to me? There'll be so many people take advantage of you, abuse you, run over you, talk about you, and it'll weigh heavy on you. And you better have someone you can go to whose name is Jesus that you can get in the prayer closet with and talk to about it. A lot of people's church has turned into bar. They go down to the bar and fellowship with the drinkers, and their bartender is their spiritual advisor. You listening? They quit church and joined the tavern, the sports bar on Sundays. Watch a little football, drink a little suds, let the bartender tell them what they ought to do when they get home and the wife's not pleased with it. That's sad, but it's so. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? The word woe, anguish. The word sorrow, grief, heartache. You want to know who has woe and who has sorrow? Look at verse 30. They that tarry long at the wine. That's who. Preacher, I've got emotional problems. I'm overwhelmed. Life can be overwhelming. I'll be 59 years old in a few weeks, and there's still times in my life that I get overwhelmed. So I'd never admit that, preacher. Well, okay. You wouldn't, but I'm going to. Life can get overwhelming. And there's times that I have to ask God, God, take me to the rock that is stronger than I. God, shield me. Put me under the wings of the Almighty. I need something greater than what I have in myself to help me through this time and to get me through this. But I'm going to tell you what, by the grace of God, I'm not going to turn to a bottle to do it. And I'm asking you not to do that too. The devil's lying to you. Say, preacher, sometimes when I drink, it makes all my problems go away until you come to. Now you got a new set of problems. The booze has never drowned anybody's problem. It's only prolonged them and multiplied them. Who hath woe? Anguish. Emotional problems. Listen, that's an emotional word, woe. Who hath contentions? That's an emotional word. People that are filled with hurt and pain and sometimes guilt, their spirit is so contentious, every time you get around them, they're just ready to strike out and hurt because they've been hurt. Instead of coming to the greatest healer that this world has ever known, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God and the sweet Spirit of God for healing and help, they turn to the bottle. Brethren, I don't say that with a hateful spirit. I say it with a hurt heart. I know people, you know people, whose homes are broken, their lives are shattered, their hope is dwindling because of this stuff. They think it's the answer. I'll just drink and all my problems will dissolve until another day. I'm going to tell you, there's somebody that you can lean on, that you can go to, that will absolutely bear your burdens. You can cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You don't have to open no bottle. Are you listening to me? You don't have to do it. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath emotional pain? Who has emotional problems? Those, in verse number 30, that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Wine doesn't solve problems. Strong drink doesn't solve problems, brethren. Listen to me. It creates them. I hesitate to give a personal story, but I have many, I rarely talk about them, emotional scars from the use of this stuff. My dad was a drunkard. My mom was a heavy drinker. My stepfather was a drunkard. I have seen my mom and stepfather come in from a joint, a dance hall, fussing and fighting. me and my brother and sister. My youngest brother was, he was quite young. I don't know how much he remembers. Fighting, cussing one another, us crying, begging them, get out guns and point them at each other's head while we were screaming, please don't, that stuff. The next day, call us in the room and say, we're sorry. Can I tell you, that doesn't take away the emotional scars. I've never leaned on that. I want you to know that. I've moved on from that. I've moved on from that. I don't use that as a crutch. I'm serving Jesus with my life by the grace of God. But I want you to know something. Not everyone can stand and say that. There's some people that have followed their father and their mother, their parents into that stuff. Now they're doing it to their children. Their children are doing it to their children. It's a terrible thing. And don't you ever believe, well, you know what, I'm going to solve a problem by taking a drink. You're only going to create one. All right? Emotional problems. Number two, look in verse number 29. Who hath babbling? Who hath babbling? I looked at the word contentions. It's fighting, babbling, quarreling, arguing. You know, every time you get around this stuff, fights break out. It just does. Every time you get around it. Fights, arguing, fussing, feuding. It's just no good. It's just no good. So social problems. I believe that's what he's saying here. Not only do you have emotional problems, well, I'll just stick to myself. Listen, you're still gonna have emotional problems. I've had people tell me, well, you know what, I ain't hurt nobody. I just sit at the house, preacher, and get me a little glass of scotch or brandy, a little Jack and water, or a six-pack, you know. Hey, who am I hurting? Yourself. Yourself and everybody that cares and loves you, cares about you. You're hurting yourself. And then social problems, fighting. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? That's emotional. Who hath contentions and who hath babbling? Man, you get a guy, gal get a drink or two in them, my goodness, you can't get them to shut their mouth. They just go on and on and on. And just wanting to fight and feud and argue about everything. Make a fool of you now. Listen to me, boys and girls. That devil, listen, demon, it's devil liquid. That's what it is. It makes fools of people. So, well, they look like they're having fun. That's a lie. That's a lie. None of them having fun. A little pleasure, but it's just for a season. Just for a season. The scripture says in verse number 29, who hath contentions, who hath babbling? Always fighting and arguing and feuding. Just a contentious spirit. That's the social ramifications. I mentioned the homes, the families, the marriages, the business, the churches. Just think of our country, how alcohol has affected every aspect of our country. I'm convinced. Many of the problems that are up the road are caused by this stuff right here. I'm convinced of it. Every time they get together and want to discuss something, they got to have a drink. The former president out on the White House lawn had to have a drink publicly so everybody could see it. Aren't you cute? It's a terrible example. It's a terrible example. Whether you voted for him or not, whether you like him or not, I'm here to tell you it was a terrible example. No leader of a country, especially a free country, especially America, should be out on the White House lawn sucking suds. It's a terrible example. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? He said, well, they that drink. You drinkers. Those that say, well, you know, we're just going to relax and have fun. No, you're going to fight and fuss all night. Then wake up and do it again. then fuss and fuss about what you fought and fussed about. That's the way that stuff works. Causes many social problems. Can't tell you the number of homes that have been broken up, the families, the marriages that have been ruined because of alcohol. Again, prescription drugs are just, listen, prescription drugs are taking over. Hard to find a family this day and time in which we live without somebody that's addicted to the prescription drugs. I don't understand these folks. Always got to be impaired. Right? I understand that. I could understand that when I was lost. I'm a saved man now. The Spirit of the living God lives in me. Man, I'm happy. You say, you don't look happy. You can't see in my heart. I'm rejoicing. I am so glad I'm saved in the grace of God, and my sins are forgiven. I don't need a pill to get happy. I don't need a drink. I don't need a wine. I don't need a toke. Praise God, the Spirit of God lives in me. I'm excited to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Yeah, folks, it's just always got to be impaired. Always got to be on something. Hey, there's something wrong in your heart, my friend. There's something not right there. I'm not fussing at you. I'm trying to get you to see. Listen, if you're on this stuff, whether it be alcohol or prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs, there's something going on. You need to get that matter taken care of. You need to get to the feet of Jesus and get some help. Amen. Get to some brethren and get people praying for you. I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage, preacher. I'm in bondage. I want to be set free. I'm in bondage to this stuff. I keep telling myself I'm going to quit, and I'll quit, and then I'll start again. I keep telling myself that that's the last drink I'm going to drink, and then within a week I'll be drinking again. That's the last pill I'm going to pop, and then before the week's out, I'm popping another. Who hath woe? Verse 29. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? The woe, the sorrow, I said, is emotional. The contentions, the babbling, that's social. Look at this. Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath the redness of eyes? That's the physical. See, these are the three main areas that this stuff affects in our lives. Our emotional state, our social state, and our physical state. It just ruins and wrecks life as God has given it. Who hath wounds? Look at that next phrase. Without a cause. Unnecessary. But this got to run their mouth. Got to pick out the biggest guy in the place. Right? Just got to show himself or herself. Just got to get it out there. This stuff right here will make you into somebody you don't want to be. You better listen to me now. Preacher, I'm handling it well. No, what you're doing is you're being set up for the big fall. Are you listening to me tonight? I pray to God that you are. Because people that think they can handle what God said stay away from, they're setting themselves up for a mighty big fall. This book is always right, brethren. I know that sounds, listen, trite. I know it sounds just simple, but it sure is good doctrine. This book is always right. God said, you better stay away from this stuff. Because in the end, look at what he said in verse number 32. You might think you're getting by. You might think you're having a big time. You might think that you're on top. But at the end, in verse number 32, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. It's going to get you. It's going to get you. And you're going to have a lot of sorrow and heartache and a lot of wounds. And I don't think that it's just exterior. I think there's some interior without a cause. Unnecessarily. It's a terrible thing. Parents, teach your children to hate this stuff. To hate it. Teach your children to hate this stuff. If you must watch TV and one of those come on, it'd be you bring them in there and say, you see it right there? It's a lie of the devil. You say it's a lie of the devil. He's lying to you. You see them smiles on their face? It's not real, son. It's not real. Because God said in the end, it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. And God's always right, son. They're not. Amen. They're trying to sell you a lie. Use it. I read it to one preacher who said his mom used to bring him in and get magazines, and they'd have them liquor ads in them, and he'd cut them out, and she'd get him to rip them up, jump up down on them, and say, "Bad, bad, bad." Oh, preacher, that's crazy stuff. Yeah, I know. That's why we got a bunch of young people running around drinking the stuff. We've gotten too crazy to teach them what's wrong in life. We're too proud to tell them to stay away from stuff. We think, well, you know, I think children ought to make their own decisions. That kind of stuff. Listen, I can't even hardly think about that stuff. I just don't get folks. You teach your children this stuff will ruin their life. Amen. To stay away from it because God said so. That's the grievous part about it. Let me give you a couple things and I'll be through. Let's look at the dangerous part about it. By the way, I read something and this really concerned me. This is going to explain a lot of things when I say this. Those of you who know me well, they say, done a little documentation on this, that 1 ounce of alcohol kills 1,000 brain cells. Yeah. Man, I wish somebody would have told me that a long time ago. And I'm being serious as I can be. You be sure to get your children and tell them real soon now. This stuff will heat up your brain. It'll pickle your brain, son. This stuff will burn out your brain. You'll be walking around 30, 40, 50 years old. You won't even be able to carry on a decent, intelligent conversation. It's real. It's real. It leaves scars. Deep and shallow. It just leaves scars in our lives. Notice, if you would, not only the grievous matter of it, the six questions. Good questions, aren't they? They're good questions. Aren't they, brethren? I think folks need to ask themselves these questions. You want a drink? Well, let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get, verse 29 says, woe. You're going to get sorrow. You're going to get contentions. You're going to get babbling. You're going to get wounds without a cause. And you're going to get redness of eyes. Why, preacher? Because God said so. Because God said so. Let's look at the dangerous part of it. Look, if you would, in verse number 33. You get to drinking this stuff. Verse number 30 says, they that tarry longeth the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. And then they begin to look on it when it's red, and it giveth its color in the cup when it moveth itself aright. In other words, the fermented product. He said, this is what's going to happen. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. You're going to get, listen, there's three words I want to give you. They all start with an A. You can get caught up in adultery. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Well, this stuff right here gets you caught up in stuff you didn't think you'd get caught up in. I want you to listen to me now. There's a reason young men are always trying to get young women to drink this stuff. It lowers the inhibitions of a person. That's why you can take a little fella about this, listen, about this high, weighs about 90 pounds, soaking wet, walk up to the biggest man in the place. Say, come on, man. Bring it. You know why? It's lowered his inhibitions. What's that mean, preacher? That means he's a fool. All right? That's what that means. I'm just being nice. And that's why a guy that's lost, that's an old serpent, wants to get these young ladies, just take a drink. Just take a drink. Why? It lowers their inhibitions. Just take a drink. Just take a drink. Goes on, listen, goes going on all across America. All across this country. Been going on for years. But this book said, right here, that when you get to drinking this stuff, you get wondering eyes. Is that what the Bible says, brother? Better listen to it now. Look at it again, verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. You'll be looking at women you shouldn't be looking at. You'll be thinking things you shouldn't be thinking. You get to drinking this stuff, popping them pills, smoking that dope. You listening to me? Life is a struggle as it is. You don't need any help. Say amen with me, folks. Amen. Well, I know the devil don't like me telling the truth on his liquid, but I'm going to tell it like it is. Amen. So last time you heard a message on liquor. Been a long time since I heard a whole message on liquor, preacher. That's why America's drunk. We quit preaching against it. We just assume that Christians don't do this stuff. Or they shouldn't. Christians shouldn't do a lot of things that we do. I'm just trying to help you. I'm not being a smart-aleck. I'm not being hard-hearted. I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm trying to help you to understand the seriousness of being impaired in life. Going through life, always got to have a drink, always got to roll a blunt, always got to snort a line, always got to have something to change your mindset. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. I can't tell you how many homes have been broken up because a man or a woman got to drinking and got to looking at each other in ways they shouldn't, and then it led to some bad situations because of the presence of children. I'll end it right there, but I'm telling you, adultery is in line for those who tarry long at this stuff right here. You see, sin for a Christian, though it's very available, it's hard for a person to cross the line. So sometimes man got to take a little drink across the line. Sometimes woman got to pop a little pill across the line. Listen to me now. I'm telling you the way sin and Satan is. And right here, Solomon's telling his son, son, I believe in you. I have confidence in you. But you stay away from this stuff. This stuff right here will take you places you don't want to go and have you doing things that you'll be sorry you've done. Not only did he mention adultery, but I want you to notice the latter part of that verse. He mentions absurdity. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. You get to drinking that stuff, not only do you get to looking at things you shouldn't look at, you'll be saying things you shouldn't say. Thine heart will utter perverse things. Absurdity. Absurdities. I have to say this. I remember when I got out of high school several years back, I met a guy that I went to high school with. It just happened to be that his name was Dale too. I worked for a pest control company, and I went to this AA. And I'm being serious. I don't know much about these places. I was doing pest control service for him. And this guy wanted to bring me in. You know, I seen him. We talked a little bit, and he told me, and I told him I got saved. And he just told me, man, this is the best place right here. This is what's good. This right here is what you need. And I said, well, let's just see. I mean, you know, why are you coming here? He said, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I said, man, you got in on the wrong program. I done recovered. Right. Yeah. I got saved. Amen. That's what you need. Amen. Amen. Man, I'm not boasting. I don't need this stuff. I got saved. I got born again. Set free. Amen. You listening to me? Amen. Jesus done cleansed me of that. Amen. I'm not saying I'm better than that. I'm not saying that I couldn't and hadn't failed. But I will say this, brethren, listen to me. I'm saying that when Jesus sets you're free indeed. Amen. I don't need to keep going someplace for them to remind me that I'm just recovering. Ongoing process. These AA places are filling up. These detox centers are filling up. And here the Bible says that if you're not careful, you'll be uttering perverse things. Your heart, in verse number 32, shall utter perverse things. You don't want to go there. And then finally, not only will this stuff lead you to adultery, absurdity, but it's addiction. I told you in verse number 35, I will seek it yet again. I'm going to do it just this one time. You know, that's one of the greatest lies of the devil, isn't it? I'm going to take this one drink. No, you're not. Back when I was a kid, there used to be a commercial. Raise your hand if you remember the Lay's commercial about the fellow who ate a Lay's chip, and they say nobody can eat just one. And they'd try to eat one, and they'd sit there for a little bit, and then start eating more. Remember that commercial? Can I tell you that's sin in a nutshell? The devil will be telling you, oh, just one time. There's no one time with sin. Listen, that's a lie of the devil. Well, you know, that such and such sin, it's addictive. All sin is addictive. Listen to me. There's not some sins that are addictive. All sin is addictive. I will yet do it again. Then finally, it's a poisonous matter. I told you in verse number 32, it biteth like a serpent at the end, stingeth like an adder. I can't tell you how many people over the course of my life that I've talked to, and I still consider myself relatively young, comparatively speaking, and I have talked to so many people in the pastorate, as I've pastored people and worked in communities, that this stuff and drugs By the way, this is a drug. I want to make that very clear. Alcohol is not a food. Well, we have alcohol in the pantry. Get it out. It's not a food. It's a drug. Well, it's a disease. It's not a disease. It's a sin. Listen to me. Did you know that 1 in 12 people, now listen, this is a very important statistic. I want to give you a test before I close tonight. You ready for the test? Well, preacher, I'm still going to feel the way I feel about alcohol. We're going to have it in my home. I'm going to drink it sociably, and it's not going to change anything. Well, listen, I can't run your life for you. I've warned you. I've told you what this book, which is the Word of the Living God, says about this stuff. Don't you let it bite you now. Don't you leave out of here and say, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does too. Did you know that the statistics show that 1 in 12 people that drink alcohol become what they call an alcoholic? The Bible calls them a drunkard. All right? You say, well, you know, preacher, is it possible for people to be genetically predisposed? You know what that means? Right? That means that some people maybe could become an alcoholic if they ever take a first drink. And they say, well, you know what? I am genetically predisposed. If I drink, I'm just going to turn into an alcoholic. Then don't drink. That's a good selling point for abstinence. Amen. Stay away from it. 1 in 12 people, 1 in 12 that drink, turn into an alcoholic. So, well, my odds are pretty good, preacher. Well, let's just see how you feel about that. You ready for the test? As we stand to our feet, here's the test. We're going to fly out tonight. Where do you want to go? Man wants to go to China. Obviously not going on vacation. So we're going to go to China. It's a long flight. So Corey's going to take us all to China. You ready to board the plane? However, as we get on the plane, the person who takes the tickets says this. While we're in flight, at our highest point, 1 in every 12 seats is going to bottom out. You still ready to fly? You still ready to take your chances? See, that's how foolish that we can be sometimes. I'm going to play the odds, preacher. Then I'm not going to be that 1 in 12. Really? I don't think you would if we were going to board that plane that 1 in 12's bottom was going to fall out. You say, well, that's different. Let me tell you how it's different. You drink that stuff and the bottom's going to fall out of your life. Just when you think you're at the highest point, the devil's going to, listen, he's going to bottom you out. I don't want to see that happen to you. God has locked something in every person's life. If we could just get a hold of that, God has put purpose and meaning in every one of our lives, brethren. Every one of our lives. And the devil wants to do everything he can to destroy that. Please, listen, I beg you. Please consider what the Bible says about this terrible stuff. It has done so much hurt and harm to this country. Don't become a statistic. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.